This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
on every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shot with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And yes, thank God I was this close from a nervous breakdown yesterday. But Jalen Brunson and the Knicks, and it all gets done, and we are now 1-1. I'm telling you right now, Rick, and good morning to you, by the way, before we start.
Good morning, David.
How you doing?
You look fantastic today.
Thank you.
What a haul you brought in this morning, too. I don't want to get us off topic, but what a haul.
Well, you know what? I care for you guys greatly.
Level of excitement is through the roof.
And I think you know that. And plus, buoyed by the win last night, I was like, I want to give these guys some food. So I brought in the normal bananas and, in addition, a nice big package.
Yeah, but those aren't grapes. That is not the Sauce Gardner bananas. That is like the, let's call that the Anthony Richardson of bananas.
You got to develop.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm not letting mine develop. By the end of the show,
yeah,
I'm going to eat my banana. But it's not a bad banana.
No, it's just not.
It's not the elite level.
Visually beautiful. It's perfect. I mean, you talk about, I mean, a gorgeous-looking banana. I just mean as far as ripeness. It could use some seasoning.
I went through what he had, and I deemed those to be the best of the bunch. But I said it coming in. I said I didn't bring the typical gorgeous banana. He didn't have that today. But I thought a lesser banana or no banana, I'm going to go with the lesser banana.
Yeah, you were front. But you're going to be like, you'll be like Mike LaFleur. You're just playing like Zach Wilson. We're going to play it.
Well, why would you compare me to that? I don't think my level of banana is the same as Mike LaFleur, Zach Wilson, and I don't think that's fair, and I don't like
banana.
You insinuating that.
The grapes are what I'm most excited about.
Yeah, and you should be. So, you'll wash those at some point.
I will wash those,
yeah. And then we will really,
indulge.
Get involved.
Maybe I'll feed you some grapes, like Cleopatra.
I'd like that.
Nile.
I'd like that. Yeah. I think that'd be very nice. All right, 1-800-919-3776. I don't want to hear one person.
Oh, you're going to have many people.
I don't want to hear them. I don't want to hear. I mean, how could we barely beat?
Hold on.
No, don't do it.
I'm calling a 20.
No, I'm not going to allow this.
I'm calling a 20. RJ, Santiago, who was complaining the most on the group chat last night?
Wait, yes.
About the end of that game. Most nights on the group chat.
No, you know what? Screw all of you. Yes, of course, the Knicks looked awful, but I wasn't complaining after the win.
After the win,
I was like, guys, terrible victory.
No.
I was celebrating. I was planning at tomorrow's fruit. So, you know what? If you wanted to be upset at the end of the third quarter last night, I was upset. I didn't think the Knicks played well. But today, you got to be happy that the Knicks went in there, got the win. I don't care that Jimmy Butler didn't play. I hope he doesn't play. I don't hope he doesn't play the rest of the series. I don't need to see Jimmy Butler.
No, I don't think any Knicks fan needs to see Jimmy Butler. But listen, I mean, Miami is a really well-coached team.
Spoelstra awesome. Is awesome.
Awesome. And they're gritty. They're smart. And, I mean, you heard after the game a couple of the Knicks players talking about. I mean, it's for the Heat, the pressure was off. All the pressure was on the New York Knicks. No Jimmy Butler. They could go out and try to get greedy, win two, head back to Miami with a couple days off here because the NBA schedule stinks, and they could go out and play free and easy. And luckily for the Knicks last night, and they don't ask how, they ask how many. First team to four, and it's tied 1-1, was that R.J. Barrett came out on fire.
He was terrific early on in that game.
Awesome. 16 points
and
in the
Brunson
first quarter.
And Brunson was not good in the first half.
No. He started 1-for-6, and I don't know if it was just the injury, maybe, that was hampering him a little bit, or it was, I was reading an article this morning, maybe just the magnitude of the moment. They were all kind of feeling the pressure that they needed to win this game, but he settled in, man, in the second half, him and Josh Hart in the fourth quarter. I mean, you talk about, I mean, Hartenstein, that huge offensive rebound, Hart a couple big threes.
He was awesome. I thought, Robinson was not good in the game last night.
Early foul trouble, too.
Yeah, and then second foul was, I mean, he's got to be better. He's got to be smarter. He knows he's got one, can't pick up a second. But you're right. I thought, and when he came out of the game, when he picked up his fifth, he got a standing ovation. I think the crowd knew the importance of Hartenstein last night. He was excellent.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why you brought Hartenstein in, right? Is because of what we were just talking about. It's with Mitch when, you know, we've seen him be dominant, but, I mean, he occasionally gets into foul trouble or is unavailable because of injury. So you needed to have somebody there that you could trust, and clearly they trust Hartenstein. And I'm telling you, man, that offensive rebound was huge. Drawing the foul on Jalen Brunson's wide-open three was huge. And then even the Fakakta shot clock violation was to our benefit.
Yes, that was wonderful. You do realize, had that gone in the reverse, we would have gotten a trillion calls on that
right.
today.
Well, that goes from being, I mean, that's a layup.
It was a four-point game or a three-point game?
It would have been a one-point game.
Right. Because they would have made the layup and
instead,
would have
shot clock violation. Brunson goes down, and now all of a sudden it's a 5-point game.
And Brunson was so good in the second half. I thought Randall played admirably
well.
He
was good.
Like, I thought he played well. Hartenstein was excellent. RJ played very well. The problem that I have, and I don't want to turn this negative, I think you should be very positive today. 1-800-919-3776 is that, you know, quickly they were down four. He hit two shots in the fourth quarter to tie the game. But the Knicks bench has been so good all season long. And what did they get from the bench last night? 12 points?
Quickly only played 9 minutes. They had six from Quickly, three from Hartenstein, and three from Grimes.
And Grimes hit the 1-3.
But Grimes was in there at the, I mean, Grimes.
Grimes was playing very important minutes in that game last night. Absolutely he was.
For his defense. Which is fine. And, I mean, find a way, star in your role. Find a way to contribute to a win. And the most impressive thing with Julius Randle last night was the 8 assists.
Yeah.
I mean,
and how about Josh Hart?
Dude, I mean, he is a coach's dream because he does all the little things necessary to win.
You know what he is? He's like, it's impossible not to like Josh Hart. Even if you're a Heat fan and you watch, like, watching his game, his toughness, coach could ask him to say, you know what, run through the wall. He would do it. I don't know if you saw this. I think Santiago put this on social media. It's very good on social media that after the game, he walked up to the officials and he thanked them. And people were destroying him. And he's like, no, I think, you know, was it Scott Foster doing the game?
Well, you're playing the game, yeah. It's
he's all like, part I thank him. And he's like, that's what I do. He gets it.
Well, he gets it, yeah. But that's playing the game. I mean, there's a reason why when you go into team meetings that a lot of these teams have the name of every, like in a hockey meeting, you have the referee and the linesman's names and like information about them. So you can, I mean, you want to create a
but
personal relationship.
But he tweeted out, he said, I thank every official after every game.
You should. I mean, even in men's hockey, we shake all the referees and umpires' hands afterwards.
Such a pro.
Well, I mean, you're also playing the game a little bit. I mean, you want to get the benefit of, hey, they like you. They're human beings. Maybe you get the benefit of the doubt sometimes.
And when I walked in today and I saw the man at the front, the security guard, I didn't say, hey, how you doing? Because I'm not the fraud that so many people are.
We gave a nice little...
I said, hope you had a great night last night. That's what I said.
Yeah, that's nice.
Because I'm not asking questions that I don't want the answers to.
I think there's some people that actually would be interested. Like, hey, how you doing?
Well, I'm
doing
first good. Of all, I don't have that kind of time. I don't.
Well, maybe you come in a little earlier next
well,
time.
Well, you know what? Then I'd be fruitless. Is that what you want?
No, we were fruitless yesterday, and I didn't like it.
Exactly.
You weren't the same.
Exactly.
You got fruit and a tea today.
I got fruit and a tea.
Wow.
Is what I did. But I wasn't going to say, hey, how you doing? And have them say, well, my bursitis and this and that. I'm not interested. I just hope you had a great night. He knows I'm friendly.
Yeah, so you don't trust him. That's the problem. If you just trust that it would be, hey, I'm doing great. Have a good day. That's
but
fine.
Isn't it ruder if I say, hey, how you doing? And he's like, well, he starts to spill all the issues.
And then
I can't walk away.
No. You don't want to open that door. I get it.
No. So I think you have to be excited. I mean, it's 1-1. It's this ridiculous 3 days off now. So today's Wednesday. You're off
well,
Wednesday.
Well, it's good for us, though.
It's good for everybody.
Good for both teams, actually. Because Jimmy Butler gets the extra rest. That's probably why. I mean, that's partly why they sat him last night. And then, I mean, Julius kind of insinuated. They asked him, you know, you look good tonight. He's like, well, I hope, at least I look good. As if, like, you know, ankle's not great, but
good.
I'm battling
well, three days off is 3 days off.
Oh, exactly.
So Brunson will be healthier, and Randall will be healthier, and Butler will be healthier. But, boy, oh, boy, the Heat play their game so well. They really, like, they know who they are. They do what they're supposed to do. They get a great passing team. Like, their offense, it just looks nicer than the Knicks. It does. It's a more attractive offense to watch. The Knicks are more... You know, one-on-one, set a screen, try to get an open shot. Miami's passing the ball all over the place. They get so many wide-open looks.
Yeah, but they also don't have, I mean, without Jimmy Butler, I mean, they don't have their go-to guy. I mean, you had Martin last night and Gabe Vincent hit some big shots, but you have Julius and Brunson that, you know, they excel in those situations. So, listen, was it harder than it than people felt it should have been?
It was a grind.
Well, I mean, between Jalen, RJ, and Julius, you get 79 points from them. You're hoping that it wouldn't be as difficult as it was, but at the end of the day,
I don't care. I'm just saying the Heat they're not the Cavs. You've seen that in two games. You know, if you thought you were going to go in there and run away and beat this team up, you killed them on the glass last night. There was that one possession which got me crazy, where Miami took a three, missed it. I think it was Adebayo got the rebound, kicked it out. They took a three again.
I know exactly.
They got another rebound, and then it wound up in Adebayo's hands, and he laid it. And I was like, "You've got to be kidding me!"
Well, the Knicks had one of those flurries too, though.
Yeah, no, they did.
Yeah, and then Hartenstein ended up with the final offensive rebound, kicks it out to Hart for the three.
It was great.
It was awesome.
It was great. I mean, Hart, I thought he played such a good game. He was one assist shy of a triple double. And listen, would you prefer 2-0? Yeah, but it's not like Miami is some kind of
They're not a pushover, no, by any means.
No, they're not a pushover. They're not some kind of a team down in Miami where they can't be beaten. You can go down and split these next two games.
Yeah, and I think that, the Knicks have shown you in round one against the Cavs that they're fine going on the road. Remember with the Knicks this season, I mean, it wasn't a road fine. It was...
They weren't good.
Right, they were struggling at home. So, yeah, listen, I mean, this is that no one... I didn't, at least, and I know you didn't think this was going to be an easy series. There was a lot of people that would call in.
Oh, I heard a lot of sweeper
punching
five.
Tickets, yeah.
Oh.
No, this team works too hard. They're too well coached, and I think you got a good glimpse of that last night without their best player.
To be able, I mean, so you're without Oladipo, you're without Tyler Hero, yep, and you're without Jimmy Butler, and you still gave the Knicks on the road every single thing they could handle. He is as good a coach as there is in the NBA.
I mean, what do you got? You got a lead going into the second half of the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, Knicks are down six with about 6 minutes to go.
Yeah, and the Knicks, I mean,
that three, 24-12 that three and one, I thought changed it, right? Because they were down six. Brunson hits the three. Then they called the foul. Now they had to review. I don't understand how, when they reviewed it, they thought the foul happened after the shot, though.
It was in the shooting motion already, they said.
Yeah, but it looked like
now, Adebayo listen, I don't run, care.
Run into it. No, but I'm just questioning. Like it looked to me like the foul was before the shot. Did it not look like that to you? Ray's got something to say. What do you have to say, Ray?
Fill us in on what you just
said.
Yeah,
what did you...
You're very smart.
I guess apparently the whistle was blown after the shot was already in motion.
Yep.
So that's kind of why they took it. And Allen and Ed were talking about it on the broadcast. If Bam Adebayo had the wherewithal to say, I'm gonna run through Hartenstein and get the foul called on me to prevent this wide open three-pointer from getting shot, if he was able to do that...
I'm not saying that his thought process. I just thought that the foul occurred before the
motion. The shot was already in progress.
Right. I didn't see that. I guess the question is when did the
Jalen had already started to go up.
Right.
But even on the you didn't see this. Well, what do we have? Ein Eagle and Jimmy Jackson last night.
Yeah,
they're pretty good. Jimmy Jackson's like, I would be very surprised if they counted this basket. Right before,
told Jimmy to shut his mouth.
No, I don't understand. Why can't we sit here and be honest on both sides of things? I thought the Knicks got a couple. I thought that was a fortunate-ish call, and the one that hit the rim was a horrendous call.
Yeah, but it was terrific for us.
Terrific for us. And it's so funny. Everyone's like, "Yo, replay it." It doesn't work like that. That's not how it works.
I'm surprised they missed it because you could clearly tell the ball. I mean, the ball
was going straight, and then it just went down.
Right. But we'll take it.
But could you imagine the flip side this morning? If that happened to us, people would be screaming.
Screaming, going crazy.
Screaming, screaming. All right. You want to hear from some Tom Thibodeau?
But let's also mention, too, one of the big, big differences between Game 2 and Game 1 was Knicks shot 40% from 3 in Game 2 as opposed to the 20% in Game 1.
Yeah. Big difference.
Huge difference.
Free throw shooting, still not great.
Yeah, but
still not great.
But not as big of an issue as it was in Game 1.
Three-point shooting was excellent. Because he pretty much matched them threes, right? Didn't they make 17, you made 16, something like that? Right?
They made 17, you made 16.
Right in that range. And then rebounding, you crushed them.
Rebound, you're plus 16. In the free throw line, you were plus 9. So,
yeah, you crushed them. RJ said you ran me right over when I tried to
play. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we mentioned that because that's a big... I mean,
right, because we don't have another 3 hours and 47 minutes
to
go.
But I thought it
was
a really important part of what happened last night.
And so you chose the three-point shooting conversation over Thibodeau?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
Is
this the Thibodeau and Rothenberg show or the DPH and Rothenberg show?
Well, I have all this beautiful hand cut sound.
We have 4 hours.
Right, we do.
Right.
But we also had another 4 hours, 3:45.
What's more important? They shot 40% or what Tibbs has to say?
I find them both to be important. I think you're missing the point. I think the point, in fact, was I tried to go to Thibodeau and you're like, no, no, no. Because I'm DPHO. You will not play the
Thibodeau
right now.
And I will steamroller your face.
You steamroller right over my face.
Right.
And that's how I feel.
And that's what I did.
And I bring you grapes. RJ, how good is that Thibodeau? Because we haven't heard it. But I'm just wondering, Ray, have you had a chance to listen to any
Let's
of this?
Well, hold on.
I steamroll you right over your face. Is what I do.
It's what I do.
That's the best part.
That's the best part.
It's the hesitation is what I do.
It's what you do.
So I'm sorry.
So tease it, maybe.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tease the hell out of this thing.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, DiPietro Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. What is that, Santiago? Just because we're going to Miami, you got to play that Miami song? Uh-huh.
Santiago's still in heat because he saw Jessica Alba on the Jumbotron last night.
Yeah. What happened if she came over? She's like, hey, Ray. And she patted you across the shoulder. You think you would have passed right out? Why are we playing the Wayback music?
May not have been able to finish the job last night.
I don't know if
that's
the appropriate music to be playing.
Okay.
See Ray rolling down the stairs of the garden?
If she walks up to you, 2:43 to go first half. You're downstairs. I know you don't, but for argument's sake, you get a halftime guest. You put him on with Ed Cohen and Alan Hunt, right? She says, Ray, let's get out of here.
Probably losing my job.
That's your
what do you mean probably?
You're gone. You're gone?
Out.
Do you tell anybody you've left?
I may not even get to that point.
she takes you by the hand, and you skip right out of the garden. She's like, Ray, let's get out of here.
That was a very rare and unexpected joy yesterday, to be in the same presence as Jessica
Alba. How close were you to Jessica Alba?
I was not close at all.
No.
Not at all.
No. If they had said, go get Alba for halftime, do you make your way and say, excuse me, Jessica, would you like to come on with the guys at half?
That would have been fantastic. Absolutely. You kidding? All in at that point.
Loves her.
I'm Raymond Santiago. We need you at halftime.
That's right. And also, would you like to join us at 6:45 tomorrow morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg
and
in
drink
studio?
How about a drink after the
And have a drink after. But Raymond, I'm married. Who cares?
Doesn't matter.
Shh. Yeah. I won't tell if you don't. She's delightful, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Raymond was very impressed.
Yeah.
Very impressed.
Everybody is impressed.
She's trending on Twitter right now.
I wasn't focused on that. I was focused on my quarterback. That's it.
You see, your quarterback was with Sauce.
Sauce, yeah.
And on the other side, Turtle. Jerry Ferrara.
Get to know your teammates, buddy.
Yeah. I know Ferrara.
Yeah, great. Me too.
Yeah. So you know him too?
Yeah, because I'm a nice guy.
So maybe I send a DM to Ferrara. See if maybe, hey, ask Aaron if he'd like to come on the show. Since he's ghosted you.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the way to do it.
Well, what's the way?
Well, I don't know how close he is with...
Well, he's sitting next to him.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean,
well, they were chatty. I saw they were chatty.
Well, that's what they do on Celebrity Row. Chat each other up. A lot of people there last night.
Why are you never on Celebrity Row?
I don't choose to go. First of all,
come on. Number one pick in the NHL draft.
Ravens. The Islanders.
So what? Number one
so
pick.
What?
You think if Connor McDavid was there, they wouldn't put him on Celebrity Row?
I don't know.
If he chose to be?
Maybe.
Wayne Gretzky, Celebrity Row?
Well, Gretzky, of course.
Mark Messier, Celebrity Row?
Of course.
Okay.
Silly. Those are silly comparisons.
They're not silly comparisons. Steve Stamkos, Celebrity Row?
That's bananas to grapes. No, Stamkos isn't a Celebrity Row.
You don't think so?
For a game like that, no chance.
Oh, come on.
No
He's Steve Stamkos.
Doesn't matter.
Victor Hedman, Celebrity Row?
No.
Oh, please.
No chance.
No chance. People didn't even know who they were on Celebrity Row last night.
Dave Chappelle was there.
Chris Rock was there.
Carmelo was there.
Yeah.
A lot of people there last night.
By the way.
What? Oh, here we go.
Knicks legend, Carmelo Anthony. Really?
He was good for the Knicks.
I agree. Very good for the Knicks. Knicks legend?
I don't know about legend, but he was really good for the Knicks.
Okay, Knicks really good player, Carmelo Anthony.
Well, that's a lot to write.
So instead, should we put Knicks really good player? Let's shorten it to legend.
Right, you don't want to be offensive.
Okay.
You don't offend him.
He was into it last night.
He was very excited.
Very excited.
Big good
Marcus Camby there, yeah. John Stark's there.
That's a good turnout.
You could have been right there on Celebrity Row.
That's what New York, that's what playing for the Knicks has to offer.
It's a larger than life kind of deal.
Right.
Is what it is.
Get to hobnob with all these celebrities afterwards, shaking hands.
Beautiful.
It's great.
Was Adam Sandler there? I didn't see him. He's a big
I didn't
Knicks
see
fan.
Sandler, no.
Spike Lee, of course, was there.
Spike Lee was there, of course. He's always there.
He's at every game.
Yep.
He loves the Knicks.
Loves the Knicks.
I wonder if he...
He's got some fraudulent fan.
Oh, because he's the Brooklyn...
Right.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Off.
Tom Thibodeau, you want to hear from him?
Oh, I mean, you teased it.
Okay. On a two hard-fought game to win.
Well done.
That's what it says on the slug. That's not me.
And now you wonder why I interrupted you in the first segment.
Well, RJ put in on a two hard-fought Game 2 win. Okay, let's take a listen. Here's Tom Thibodeau.
It was a hard-fought game. We knew when they were, with the way the game unfolded at the beginning, we'd see a lot of zone, a lot of threes. And then I thought in the second half, we competed really well. And so we had a lot of hustle plays. I thought Julius gutted it out, played tough. I thought Jalen was fantastic. RJ, a big, big start to the game for us. So we had a number of guys step up and get it done.
And he mentioned, and I think this is accurate, and I love it, is the fact that the best players played their best games. Brunson, Barrett, Randall all played well.
Yeah, well, I mean, you needed it. Heart. Because Brunson got off to a really slow start, and R.J. Barrett was able to step in and carry them early. And then in the second half, Jalen Brunson found his game, and he was great. And Josh Hart scored 10 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
A couple big threes, rebounding, whatever you need.
Yeah, he's the lunch pail guy.
He's the beauty of him.
He's the lunch pail guy. You need rebounds. You need assists. You need, you know, and he didn't run the break that much last night, which I appreciated. Yeah, played a really good game. Julius Randle, courtesy MSG, how'd you feel out there?
No, I feel fine. I mean, obviously, it's a lot that goes into it. But, you know, we got the job done. At this point in the season, everybody's hurting. So does it really even matter?
You know what I respect about him? He's not right, and he's not going to tell you he's not right.
Right, because he's a warrior. He just wants to go out there and play. I mean, at some point, and the first thing you said when you came in here is Julius Randle frustrates the hell out of you.
He does.
At some point, you got to let that go.
No, you know what? I can have my own opinion.
No, I get it.
When the guy steps over the end line and then they knock down a three, that stuff frustrates me. Okay, that's my point.
He didn't see the baseline. He made a mistake.
I understand it, but mistakes like that will crush you.
Yeah, but he also gave you 25, 12, and 8.
I understand what he does. He's a good player, but he does things that frustrate me.
He's better than good.
And he was good. I started this by saying how good Julius Randle was, and now you're beating me up.
But you always find, you nitpick at him, always.
He stepped over the end line.
You always find something.
You think I'm the only person that's frustrated?
Or he wasn't the only one that made mistakes. How about we throw Mitch the ball?
What is that? That's Josh Hart.
They were like a
shark in chummed water, right? They're like, oh my God, Mitchell's got the ball. Attack, attack. It's like, why, what are you doing?
I mean, mistakes were made sometimes.
Mistakes were made sometimes.
It was better execution down the stretch in this game than there was in game one.
100%.
I mean, you scored what in the last almost 5 minutes, 7 points in game one?
You know what? They also didn't have Jimmy Butler last night. So that helps.
Oh, of course it helps.
That helps a lot. Let's get to some of these calls. 1-800-919. Oh, no. My God, he ran right over me.
No, because you say stuff and I got to hold you accountable. Jimmy Butler was hobbled at that point.
Yeah.
I'm talking about after Jimmy Butler sprained his ankle.
Yeah, I understand.
Which was with 5 minutes left. I'm talking, he scored 7 points in the last 5 minutes almost.
They were bad down the stretch.
Much better yesterday.
Much better yesterday. Might I go to a call?
As many calls
as you want. What do you think, like BetMGM or Caesars has on the over-under of steamrolls today? RJ, what do you think? 3.5?
I think 3.5 is a good line, but probably for any day, not just today.
Do you find it? I don't know. After the show, would you ever talk to Rick and say, like, Rick, you keep just talking right over him when he's trying to do something, or you just, you're scared and you run away and you let him do whatever he wants?
No, I think some funny content comes from it, actually.
RJ, it's time for you to do a
little. Raymond, what does that emoji mean? Is that what is the icy
head? Oh, my God! I'm steamrolling face! You're murdering people the way you steamroll over.
It's a look of horror is what it is.
No.
No. I'm out.
That's one of my favorite.
You like that one, do you?
Well, you know what really hammers it down is the production just crushing.
Now.
It's like the steamroller parked on you.
But it's 6:27 and he's two steamrollers in already.
He's excited.
I understand.
Yeah, but he's got to be held accountable, RJ.
He brings
up Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler was already hobbled at the point I was talking about.
Yeah, but you could have brought that up after I finished my sentence.
Well, you go into calls, and then we get out of control.
Forget it. We don't need to take calls.
How about do your own show? How about do the Dave Rothenberg show, all right?
Is that what you want?
No. That's not what the people want.
No, I don't want that
either. I don't need people falling asleep at the wheel.
So you think I'm bland?
You're going to keep people entertained.
You think I'm bland?
Yes,
you think
like an unseasoned steak.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You think I'm boring?
Yeah, I'm the salt and pepper on your steak.
I think you accentuate me tremendously. I think I do the same for you.
Right.
All I'm saying is when I'm in the middle of speaking, if you could avoid running over what I'm saying, it would be greatly appreciated. Can you imagine if you did this at home? Cassie's like, so I took Milo to... So Cass, here's the thing. Rothenberg, he brought in a tea all on his own right before the show. She's like, Rick, sweetheart, I was in the middle of telling a story. Yeah, but my story had a little more than your story.
Note taken. All right, I take it. Listen, mental note.
Okay?
I'm going to avoid steamrolling today, all right?
You already two steamrolls in.
Yeah, well, I got 3.5.
All right.
Oh.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I've been to a concert a long time. Well, I can't even tell you the last time I went to a concert. So you haven't been to a movie or a concert in years.
Years.
We went to Billy Joel over the pandemic at some point.
That might have been, Billy Joel might have been the last concert
I love Billy
to.
Joel. He's like the one artist I could... I know he plays monthly at the Garden. If you told me you get me tickets every month, I think I'd go every month.
I think I would go. He's nice little night out with the wife.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know every song.
And you know what to expect.
You know it's going to be good. You know people are going to be into it. It's not a wild, outrageous crowd. It's just great stuff.
Yeah. I don't disagree at all. Yeah, you're not going to be disappointed.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. So, I know you want this. I don't really want this. I guess Brian Baldinger. He's the guy that has the pinky that's like crazy.
Yeah, his fingers are all mangled, yeah.
So I guess he was doing a podcast, and he said he has heard from league sources. And the schedule comes out a week from tomorrow. Giants-Jets, that opening Monday night game.
I heard that.
I don't want it.
Oh, you don't want to get smashed week
one?
Yeah,
no, I don't want it.
Oh. Why? You should want to catch us early.
I don't want it.
You don't want to catch us early?
No, I'd rather give me week 9, 1 o'clock. I don't need to be national television,
yeah,
a big spectacle around this thing. Tell you what, I'll be there.
I want everyone to see it.
Tell you what, I will be there.
I want everyone to see it.
You better hope to God you guys win that game.
Oh, we're going
to
win that game.
RJ, I have a question. 1-800-919-3776. See, I can't ask Raymond the question. So, RJ, I have a question for you.
Sure.
The way he's been acting lately. Mm-hmm. Take that into account as well.
Yep.
Jets-Giants week one. Monday Night Football. ESPN. Who are you rooting for?
You know, it's a good question.
I know.
I think a lot will play out over the next couple of months. Basically, whoever is more tolerable between the two of you, I would say.
He's already intolerable.
I'm the nicer of the two of
us. He's already insufferable.
Listen. Yeah, but the line is a lot closer than you think. A lot closer.
Well, I've done nothing but be optimistic and positive towards you, RJ. Well, I'm always a good friend when it comes to your team.
You are. Here's the problem with what Ray said. Ray just generally finds you insufferable.
Well, I think to Ray, I probably am. Way more than I am to either of the two of you guys. But I never give the Jets a hard time. I'm always very complimentary to
your
Jets.
Yeah, but that's fine. But you're nasty to Raymond all the time. All you do is pick on the him and his Dallas Cowboys.
Well, I hate the Cowboys.
Right, okay. So finally, I have an opportunity to swing it a little bit, and you're offended.
Yeah, because I don't think it's necessary.
It's going to happen. That's going to be the game.
You think it's going to be Giants-Jets Monday night, September 9/11. 11th? Oh,
right.
God.
And I'm going to smack you around.
I'm going to be... No, it's going to be Giants.
Coming on Tuesday, and I'm going to be... Oh, just the absolute worst. The worst.
I'm not coming on Tuesday.
No,
then.
You'll come on
Giants
Tuesday.
Giants lose, I'm not coming
in. No, you'll be in Tuesday.
No.
I might come in full Jets gear.
I might come right from the game. How's that?
You won't do that.
You don't know what I'll do.
You don't have the...
I might walk back from the Meadowlands straight through the Lincoln Tunnel to the studios if the Giants win that game.
You'd have to duct tape the easy pass to your forehead.
No, I think if you walk through the tunnel, I think it's just understood. Just go right through.
Just go right through.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll get very far.
I've seen you walk. No chance. You'd miss the show. You would make it.
I'm a very good walker.
You won't need the suit. They'll send the dogs after you right then and there.
I think that's implying that you're just portly. Is what he said.
Yeah, that was the implication, yeah.
I don't think it was.
No, I was just saying that the canines will go
out. How many miles is that?
And the
eight
suit.
Miles, maybe? You don't think I could walk from midnight to 5 in the morning, 8 miles?
No. No.
Are you out of your mind?
I don't think it's possible.
Bet me.
You can't wash your own socks.
So, but the dryer and washing machine, very complex.
Stop. How many miles is it, Raymond, from MetLife to the studio?
It's got to be at least 10 miles.
10 miles?
It's got to be.
You think it's 10?
There's no chance.
100% I could do it.
No, you can barely get through a show without drinking 5 bottles of water. You'd probably be dehydrated.
You're supposed to hydrate. I'm sitting here speaking for a living.
So it's 10 miles.
No chance.
You pay me and I'll do it.
I don't want to pay you.
Well, why not? I don't want to do it for fun.
You pay me
and I'll do it.
9 miles.
Well, no. You said you were going to do it after we beat the crap out of you.
No, I said after we beat you.
Well, you know, you're not going to beat us.
So you think.
No, I know.
You better. Brian Dable's going to be game planning.
I don't know what's happening.
Jalen Hines going to run right past you.
Was that a cigar, by the way? Did you see the video of Brian Dable?
Yes.
It was a cigar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. People thought it was a pipe or something.
No, I don't care what he's doing. He wanted to taste the cigar in his mouth.
Yeah.
I don't care what he's doing. Nathaniel Hackett, have you seen him lately?
Yeah, I'm terrified of him. Oh, God. Please don't let Nathaniel Hackett call the
plays. Close personal relationship to
Aaron. It's great.
Yeah.
If he brings any of the Russell Wilson-led Broncos last year, I'm terrified.
Right.
Yeah. Kayvon Thibodeau will be just smashing all over Aaron Rodgers.
What do you like to put on your wings?
Your turnstile of a left tackle.
A little sauce. You ever heard of Sauce Gardner? How about that one? Yeah. Daniel Jones will be out of nightmares.
D-Waller!
Daniel Jones will be out of nightmares. Nightmares. How about Quinnen Williams? All up in your kitchen.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to that game, and I'm going to bring Alex to that game.
No.
And you guys aren't going
to
know what hit you.
I'm going to take Alex to the training camp, and he's going to be a Jets fan.
No, we already discussed it.
No.
He's welcome to go.
No.
He's not welcome to switch allegiances.
I'll have Aaron change
him
in a second.
Because I'm the everyman.
No, you're not. Aaron Rodgers, this is Alex. Jets fan.
You know what he's going to do? He's going to absolutely make me hate the Jets this year. Yes, you are.
No.
You're going to be so insufferable and so obnoxious that you're going to make me hate the Jets.
No, the Jets are going to be good. And it's going to scare you to death.
I'm a little nervous.
And then we're going to smash
you. I'm excited for you. I'm a little nervous to play them because I don't want to lose to the Jets. Honestly, you better hope to God you beat the Giants.
Yeah, but you would think that, I mean, if you were actually thinking about this as a sane individual, week one would be the time you'd want to play them.
I don't want it to be on such a big stage.
Yeah, but that's the time you would want to play a team with a new quarterback and then the offense learning a new system.
See, even Big Mars, he says, I'm a diehard Jets fan, but if Rick continues acting like this, I'm not listening to the show after losses. We haven't played a single minute with Rodgers, and Rick already sounds like an obnoxious Patriots fan. Please stop, Rick. Don't make our fan base hateable.
See, here we go.
This is what you're doing.
Why can't we just embrace it?
So you're going to embrace
everyone wants to be liked.
Being the big bully.
I just want to be liked by everybody. Let's just, embrace the fact that we get Aaron Rodgers, would you? It might be only 1 year. Cherish it. I'm going to cherish it.
You should cherish it.
That doesn't mean
you have to be obnoxious about it.
I'm not being obnoxious. I'm confident.
So now you turn into a Cowboys fan?
No, I'm not a Cowboys fan. They pretend like they're going to win.
Be like RJ. Look at RJ. RJ's a gentleman of a fan.
Stop.
A gentleman. His team wins. He comes in. He's kind. He's not obnoxious. Doesn't rub it in your face.
Not to us. To his other friends. You don't get the real RJ here.
You don't think so?
No, this is business RJ.
No, I think this is...
This is RJ.
You can't fake who you are at 4 o'clock in the morning.
No. Let me tell you what... RJ is a mullet.
A hairstyle? Yeah,
we're getting the front of it. We're getting the business cut of the mullet. When he goes home and he talks to his Rochester buddies, back of the mullet.
So. RJ, do we get full, true, genuine RJ Santillo on this show?
I keep it between the lanes of the bowling alley, you know?
And you're running down the gutter when it's your friends. Is that what you're saying?
Not so much anymore, yeah. But
well, stop it. Yeah, the real RJ was the one where, who's going to throw you, Dave? Crane. Without even thinking about it. That's the real RJ.
That's the real RJ?
Yes. That wasn't nice. I feel bad about that.
No,
that was
it's
Rochester
already out there.
RJ.
It's how you feel about me.
That's the guy who says, strike.
That's that the strike version.
That's the strike version.
Yeah, what's not in the drop.
It looked like a strike.
And I said, did you say strike? He's like, no.
No.
He defended it to the hilt.
That's how he says it.
I was wrong.
But you don't say strike as common practice.
No,
you just,
I say strike.
Because that's nice.
Listen, I had a moment.
Okay.
I have a lot of moments lately. Homered, first ever 3-game hit.
Yes.
I'm breaking down.
Ever 3-game hit. Yasmin, Jersey. Hi, Yasmin. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great game last night. The Garden was rocking. I loved it. It brought me back, back to 99. Now, my point was the role players are supposed to be, great at home and, so-so on the road. But where's Quickly? Where's Grimes? I'm sorry, but we're not going to win this series if this keeps up.
It's been disappointing. You're not wrong. I mean, Quickly has been, he's had one game in the postseason. He's been good. Grimes has not been good. Toppin last night, I don't think, scored a point. So you're not wrong. You need your bench players to produce more, or you need your big-time players to go bananas.
Which and they did yesterday.
That kind of happened yesterday. Yep. Brunson, great. Randall, very good. Hart was excellent. And R.J. Barrett was excellent.
Brunson, second half. Yeah, I mean, it's 79 combined points between those three.
Right. And then Josh Hart has one assist shy of a triple-double. Like, it all...
10 points in the fourth, yeah.
The only starter that wasn't very good was Mitchell Robinson.
The early foul trouble was, yeah.
And that second foul was, he has to be smarter than that.
But give Leon Rose credit. I mean, bringing in Hartenstein.
It's been a great move. At least I kind of laughed at that. I'm like, this is what you're bringing in? You know what? He's been a tremendous addition to this team.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
On Thursday, June 1, which is what? I think it's 4 weeks from tomorrow. Thursday, June 1, we're going to be out and about. Let me explain to you. You can hang with us all day long. We're going to start our day broadcasting live from Publicans in Manhasset, 6 to 10 o'clock in the morning, the regular show, right? It's going to be an on-scene observations and did it happen in Florida. Then we're going to hit Citi Field parking lot for a tailgate right around 11 o'clock in the morning, all leading into the game, 1 o'clock against the Philadelphia Phillies. Bryce Harper now back for the Phillies as well. So spend the day with us Thursday, June 1, starting at Publicans in Manhasset, then over to Citi Field for DiPietro and Rothenberg's tailgate with all sorts of giveaways and prizes and goodies. It's going to be great. We're headed to the game and sitting in section 128. So get your tickets and hang with us all day long, courtesy of 98.7 ESPN. You see what the Phillies did last night?
I did.
They got crushed.
See what Bryce Harper did?
Did not.
No. Didn't do anything.
Nothing?
No.
Well, they got destroyed.
You tell the people what I just did during the break?
I did not, but
tell
I will.
What I did.
So RJ walks in with a handful of grapes, and he says, "Dave, let me throw one into your mouth, and you catch it like a seal,
like a porpoise."
And I said, "No, I don't want it. I don't want your handheld grape to be thrown into my. I'm sorry, you know, I'm still not over the whole pandemic, and still not really a handshaker.
Not an everyman,
and I'm an everyman, and I didn't want him to throw a grape across the room into my mouth." And, of course, you being like the child, you're like, "I'll do it, I'll do it." So RJ lines up a good 10 feet away.
At least.
A good 10 feet away. And I had zero confidence this ended in a completion. Throws it, and you adjust beautifully, catch the grape right in your mouth.
It's like a hibachi meal for this guy.
It was very well done. It was very impressive. I take my hat off to you.
Thank you.
Good job by you. And your thrower was good, too.
Yeah.
RJ threw you throw a nice grape, RJ.
I appreciate that. I'd say I overspun my curveball a little bit. Like, it dove a little more than I would have liked. But Rick,
cat-like.
Yeah, the north to south adjustment. You could see why the man was held in such high regard in the hockey world.
It's like what an apple would feel like in a normal person's hand.
I mean, you see?
What? Why?
What?
What? Why?
I thought we had a moment.
I'm just trying to let people know how big the grape was.
It was a good sized grape.
Yeah, it was a nice sized grape.
Yeah, but you can say it was an extra large grape as opposed to mocking the guy's.
I'm trying to give you a visual
size.
I'm trying to paint a picture.
Why do you do that?
Because this is what the radio medium is. It's I got to paint the picture with my words.
So if you said it was if you think of a normal sized grape, it was twice the size of that. Doesn't work.
Yeah, but I'm giving you the grape and RJ's hand size at the same time.
Right. So what you're doing and what it necessitates you do all the time. Is you praise yourself and take shots at what you consider to be a diminutive person.
No, that was what I like to call a verbal Scorsese, is what that was.
Oh, really?
Yes.
A verbal Scorsese?
Yes.
So you were painting, right. How about a verbal Picasso?
Right. Anything, you name it.
A Renoir. Okay. Yes. Rembrandt.
I'm just trying to let people know. Some nice stuff happened during the break and people should...
And RJ, I'm sure the next time you could take a shot at me or Rick, you'll take it right at me.
Nope. I was actually, you know what I was just going to say? You asked a question earlier. Now I have an answer. As of now, rooting for the Giants.
I got him. I'll get one fan at a time.
See, we should have, if we were on television, we could have like an RJ meter. And it goes up and down depending on who's like in Jets on one side,
currying
Giants
favor with him, yes.
Oh, there's still 2 hours to go. Dave will make fun of me. It'll go back.
No, I will not. I don't make fun of you.
You do all the time.
Not really. He does.
You don't even realize.
Okay, when was the last time I made fun of you?
Yesterday. You yelled at me in the talk back.
That's different. I was in a way yesterday. Yesterday, I was a knot of sound mind. You can't blame me for yesterday.
You yelled at religious officials yesterday as well.
What are religious officials?
You're talking about when you're going for the, when you're talking about the reading for your son.
I mean, oh, no. I yelled at my wife about the rabbi. I didn't yell at the rabbi.
Yesterday,
I was in a way. It was a very bad day for me yesterday. But you understand why.
I do.
Now you're making excuses. RJ, delicious grape you picked, by the way.
Oh, here we go.
No, he picked a nice one. It was delicious.
Well, but they're all nice.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the grapes.
Trying to be nice to RJ. What do you want me to do?
All right. Can we get into the Yankees for a couple minutes before we get to Sean Rothenberg? That's a big win. That's a big win because they're down 2-0 and it's getting late in that game. And what's this guy's name? Bibby? I guess it was pronounced differently, but it looked like it's Bibby. And he's
because you have no respect for the man. He's only in Major League Baseball.
I have tremendous respect
zero
for Bibby.
Respect.
Well, how do you say his name?
It just doesn't.
You don't even know.
No, it's incumbent. Good word on you.
Why me?
Watch the game.
Yeah, I saw he got hit with a line drive and threw the ball over the first baseman's head. Then they had to check
you're
and see if he was
the
okay.
Lead here.
I don't know how to say his name.
It doesn't matter what his name is said, how it's said. You're burying the lead. There's only one name you need to pronounce, and it's Volpe. That's it.
That home run was big.
Huge.
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 Yeah. Once they tied it at 2, you felt like it settled in and they were going to be okay. Rizzo with the big hit. I can't overstate how important I think that win was for the Yankees last night. Really. I think that
giant
is a
win.
Huge win. Because now you'd be 9.5 out. You'd have lost again.
A Cole start, more importantly.
A Cole start. You have Clark Schmidt on the mound today, and then you go to Tampa for the weekend. That was a monster victory.
With no Aaron Judge.
Yes.
Yep. And you got more bad news yesterday.
With Rodon.
Yep.
I mean, when...
Well, no, a couple, too, because now with Trevino, who we said was going to go see this...
Tommy John.
We said he was going to be done.
So he's done.
Right, he's done, Tommy John.
Right.
Loizaga got the surgery to get the bone chip up.
So he's August at best.
And then Rodon, who the hell knows at this point.
So now he's going to almost be shut down now.
Well, it's because the back now, I mean, it started as, you know, as an arm issue that he pitched through last season, but now because of the back, how does that affect his mechanics? If his mechanics are compromised because of the back, that now affects his arm negatively, so we can't have that happen.
And he didn't even have a back issue.
No.
Like, it was an arm issue. That was supposedly solved. That's a non-issue. Now he comes here, couldn't make the start because of the... What was bothering him originally? It wasn't the back originally. The back
no,
wasn't...
No, back is a byproduct of whatever the hell it was. Like, this is new.
So now the back is bothering him, and now there's no timetable on his return. No. So we're what today? May 3rd?
May 3rd.
So when am I going to get this guy back? June? If maybe. I told you right now, June 15th, over-under, where are you going?
Ooh, I would probably say over at the moment.
You're saying over?
I'm saying over that.
So you don't think we see him?
I mean, it's going to take him. It takes 6 weeks to get ramped up.
So are we going to see him?
If he's done throwing now because his back, and if his back's bothering him, it's going to affect his mechanics, which
right.
could, I mean, hurt his arm
and
more.
You know back injuries.
Yeah,
those things
quite
can
well.
Those things can linger, right? You'll start with the cortisone shot, and then, you know, God forbid, you actually eventually need surgery. But, I mean, this is terrible.
Well, they've done tests, so, I mean, that's what makes it even kind of more troubling, is, like, you've done tests, everything looks okay.
So they can't find anything?
I guess.
But he's saying the back is bothering him?
I guess.
You got to take him at his word.
Right.
You can't say, no, I'm sorry, you got to go out there and pitch.
But another guy who's dealt with, I mean, last couple years he stayed healthy, but he has had a history of not.
It's bad. I mean, he is your big high-priced free agent.
He is your prized free agent signing.
And you've got nothing out of him, and now it looks like you're at the point where you're not going to get anything out of him for quite some time.
But remember, he came into pitching in October.
You're not going to get to October.
That's the problem. You got to get to October.
I mean, division's already hanging in the balance. And you know Tampa hates you. So you're going to go
despises
into Tampa.
You.
You're going to go into Tampa, and you're not going to have Judge. They'd love nothing more than to take like an 8.5 game lead and bump it up to 11.5.
Yeah, step right in your throat.
Right in your throat.
You're going to see them twice here.
Well, you see them 3 this weekend and then 4 next weekend,
and then
right?
4 next weekend.
Right. So first you're down at Tampa. And hopefully, Judge is back by the second set against Tampa.
Very exciting time in the DPHR household, though.
Why?
Well, because you know how...
Well, Cassie and the family is
right.
Rays fans.
So you get them four against the Yankees and four against the Mets. And 3 against the Mets, excuse me. So plenty of opportunities to take the kids to a game. She's very excited.
And how many games will you go to?
How much say do I have?
They come to Citi Field?
Yeah.
So you got to go to it.
16, 17, and 18.
16, 17, and 18.
Thursday's a 1:10 start.
That's Thursday.
The 18th, 1:10 start.
So it's Thursday. No, so it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
No, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, yes. That's what I said.
I said, so it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? No, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Well, because you asked me, I just told you. Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay.
16th, 17th, 18th.
18th to 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock.
I mean, that's perfect for you.
Perfect. I also got Sunday the 14th against the Yankees at 1:35.
That's locked in or no?
No, but that's another
opportunity. That's the stadium.
Yeah, that's
just
another
opportunity. Just ask your guy. K will just set you up.
Yeah, well, no, I got this is going to be multiple people. This is a big, yeah, there's
like,
lots.
Like this is a gathering?
Yeah, no, I don't know, gathering. This isn't like a
over under 8.5.
Over.
Over 8.5.
Yeah.
Father-in-law in town for this?
Yep.
Oh.
And mother-in-law.
Okay. Well, I figure they come together, yeah. Right? That's a
we
lot
got
of people.
Milo's, we got Milo's communion this weekend.
Oh, this is big. I wasn't invited to that.
It's very
RJ,
small.
You get an invitation very to the small. Communion?
No.
Only family. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put the pressure on you. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't invited to your 50th.
Well, I'd like to get him something.
No.
I'd like to.
He doesn't need anything.
Maybe like a nice jersey?
He's not a jersey guy.
He's not a jersey guy?
Rocco's the jersey guy.
What makes Milo tick?
Who? What makes Milo tick? That's a great question. There's a lot of things that make him tick. I don't know. Jersey's probably not the
top of
the list.
If he opened up a package and it was what, would he be like, Dad, guess what the guy's got me?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Black and white cookies.
No, he does like the black and white cookies.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, it's delicious. Let me think about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to set you down the wrong road.
Okay. Because I want him to open it and be wowed.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
It's very nice of you.
Well, I care for Milo.
Thank
you. I only want good things for him. So, and a big weekend for him. So, again, really, I don't want to undersell it. That's a big win for them last night. You lose a game with Cole on the mound, and it didn't look great. And you know what the great thing about Gerrit Cole is?
He grinded through it.
I didn't think he was great last night.
No. Nope.
He did not have great command, and he said, you know what? I'm going to figure out a way to get this done, and to his credit, he got this done. That's it. That's a big boy start.
Yeah, I mean, he gave you six innings. I think it was runners in five of the six innings. So, he grinded his way through it. More importantly, the Yankees are 7-0 in Gerrit Cole starts. Which is, I mean, we've talked about this. When the team is struggling to score runs, you need your ace to show up and give you a chance. And it didn't seem great. I mean, the two runs seemed, I mean, at this point,
it seemed daunting, didn't it?
But Volpe hits the home run, gets them going. And then also the play he made at second base when Wandy Peralta spikes the throw, he makes a great scoop at second, stolen bases.
That was He took so much time on that throw, and it was a terrible throw.
He kind of fell down as he was throwing.
That was a bad play by him, though.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But they found a way. I mean, that's really what they got to do at this point is, I mean, just tread water as long as they can.
I totally agree.
Just
find a way to kind of see another day. Now you see today, and today's a tough matchup, right? Because you have Schmidt against Bieber, I believe.
Have you looked at Clark Schmidt's numbers against lefties?
I had not, but you were mentioning it before. What are lefties hitting against this guy?
Clark Schmidt against lefties is not exactly what you want. They are hitting a .396 with an OPS of 1260. Not great.
That's not good at all.
It's not good at all.
No.
No.
So you don't have great confidence in him.
No, it was good for Willie Calhoun today. Hit a big home run last night.
Big shot from him.
Yeah.
But bullpen good.
Yeah, bullpen, Michael King good.
King was excellent. Do you think there's any chance?
Yes.
You do. Do you think King could take that role over?
Yeah, I mean, if Clay Holmes can't figure it out, of course.
How much more leash do you give Clay Holmes?
I think you would like to see him, because of the versatility of King, I think you'd like to see Clay Holmes try to figure it out.
Right, and King can kind of come in as a long guy or short guy or use him however you'd like.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You ready?
Stump Rothenberg, always ready.
It's time. RJ, you ready? Look at you! You said I just caught him. He's picking grapes, picking them.
I thought
off the vine.
I thought I had a moment there.
Yeah, you have a moment. Go ahead, pick your grapes.
All right,
pick your grapes. Go ahead, Raymond.
He knows sports.
I'm intrigued by a lot of guys,
and he's very humble.
I go away, this show dies.
So now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Is the DS-4-7, by the way.
All right, Stump Rothenberg, another edition. We'll get back to the Knicks right at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, 1-800-919-3776. We start as we always do. We bring him in, Andy and Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning to the goalie and the guru. How are you, boys?
We're doing pretty well. Yesterday, not so well. Today, much better.
All right. Well, under Rick's philosophy of I'm saving it for later, today's question is, there are three active pitchers with 300 or more saves. Name all three.
More than 300 saves.
Chapman, no?
One.
Kenley Jansen. How many does he have?
He might.
That's two.
Yes.
You're good.
Fire!
300.
I gave you two.
I know. Do you know the third? Are you babying me?
A little bit.
So you know the third?
You can get it. Andy, I appreciate you being nice today, too. That was unexpected.
It's a once-a-week type of thing.
I get it.
Um, 300 saves. Fernando Rodney's not still pitching, is he?
No.
Okay. Does he have a weird stance when he gets into his delivery?
All right.
Craig Kimbrell.
Bang.
Well done. Good start.
All right.
Good question.
I mean, you really won that day.
He usually has awful questions, but that was a good one.
You like that one?
Yeah, it was a good question.
Those guys are all over the place.
I would ask somebody that question, though. I mean, I could ask somebody that question.
That's not a bad. Like, that I think is the genesis of Stump Rothenberg. If when the question is over, you say to yourself, you know what? I'd like to ask that question to somebody else. Now you have a winning question. Let's go to Connor in East Meadow. Good morning, Connor. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning. What's up, guys? So, Dave.
Yeah.
Can you tell me the three NFL teams that have never had the first overall pick in the draft?
Have the Eagles? How can we go all the way back?
I have the current names of the teams.
Seahawks.
That's one.
The Broncos traded for the top overall selection.
Yeah, Denver Broncos, that's two.
Yeah. Now, are we considering the Browns and Ravens to be one team, or are the Ravens a completely separate team?
That's it, the Ravens.
That's it?
You got it, Dave.
Okay. Because the Browns had the top overall selection, but the Ravens never have. So there you have it.
And they chose Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Yeah, that worked out. That's not great. So that's 2-0.
Buccaneers new quarterback, Baker Mayfield.
You see, at what point do you think teams start losing games on purpose to get Caleb Williams?
They're probably already thinking about it.
Yeah, I would think so. Let's go to Justin and Mattawan. We're 2-0, Justin, and you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hi, good morning, guys. My question is, who is the only player to win three straight Super Bowls?
Is it either Drew or Preston Pearson? Does that sound right, Raymond, or no?
The player to win three straight Super Bowls?
Yeah.
I know the answer to this question.
Ooh, Raymond.
I know the answer.
You knew
question.
It on your own?
Yes.
Wow. And I'm not right with that.
It's not one of those
two. It's not it.
Charles Haley?
You're on the right track.
Ken Norton.
Ken Norton Jr.
Okay. So I guess I kind of got it right? Justin, yeah. Do I get credit for that or no?
Yeah, I'll give it to you. You worked your way there.
Worked my way there. But I took a couple of shots in the dark before I...
Yeah, but you can kind of... I mean, that was just kind of you just feeling your way through it.
Ken Norton. I had his dad on my radio show back
in the
day.
You've told us before.
I don't think I've ever told you that. I don't think so. Yeah. Let's go to Max in Brooklyn. Max, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning. My question is, who are the only three players in NFL history to be the number one overall pick, win league MVP, and win a Super Bowl MVP?
It's a good question. I would ask this question.
So it's top overall pick.
First overall pick, league MVP, Super Bowl MVP.
That's right.
Tony Dorsett was not. Top overall pick, Super Bowl MVP, league MVP. John Elway?
John Elway is one.
Peyton, no.
Peyton, top
Peyton
overall
Manning.
Pick. Yep.
Yes.
Peyton Manning. How many did you say there are?
There's three.
So there's one more?
Yes.
Max, you seem like you're so enthusiastic this morning, Max.
Well, it's early for him. Super Bowl MVP.
That's what he said.
So top overall pick. The league MVP. Who? I mean, you got to be great. League. I mean, Brett Favre, no. Tony, Ray, was Tony Dorsett the top overall selection?
I think Tony Dorsett was number two in his class.
He was not the top pick?
Either way, he wasn't Super Bowl MVP.
Okay, so he's never been Super Bowl MVP. All right, so let's... Staubach was not one. Montana was not a first-round pick.
Yeah, Tony Dorsett was second overall.
Second overall?
So.
Emmitt Smith was not the top pick.
Nope.
Could it be Troy Aikman? He was a top pick. No, you don't think so?
He was number one overall.
Was he an NFL MVP, though?
But he was not.
Yeah, probably not.
No.
We got Elway.
We need a first overall
got
pick.
Got Peyton.
I got Peyton, yeah.
It's not Eli.
Nope. What's holding you up right now? The MVP, the regular season MVP?
I think all of it's holding me up.
Yeah, regular season MVP.
Was Terry Bradshaw ever regular season MVP? Because he's definitely in the top pick. He was the Super Bowl MVP. I'm going to... God. I'm going to go Terry Bradshaw, final answer.
Yeah, that's the third.
Boom. Yes. Where do you go to college? Anybody? Anybody. Not a Power 5 school.
Anybody.
Was he a Louisiana Tech guy?
Mm-hmm.
Look at you, Raymond.
You really know what?
I mean, you continue to show how smart you are. It's going to make it that much better when you have to call me coach for a whole week.
Wow.
And then Chandler's going to call me daddy.
Very smug. Here he goes.
Right now. And I'm going right up the ranks. Let's hear your question there.
Oh, I have a great question.
Okay.
Mine is more topical. So Anthony Volpe, we were just talking about him earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You're great at your job. 10 for 10.
Stolen bases.
Yeah. Can you tell me who has the most...
Let me tell you what the question is going to be.
What is it?
Most steals consecutively to start a career.
No, not to start a career. Just most consecutive steals without being thrown out.
Oh, ever?
Ever. Not to start a career.
So does it have to be to start the season?
No, just most consecutive stolen base attempts without being thrown out. I don't need the number, just the player.
Mm-hmm. Did they mention this during the Yankees game?
Nope. Did this all on my own.
Vince Coleman.
Yes.
Yes. That's nice.
Real nice.
That's nice. All right, let's go Steve in New Rochelle. Steve, we're undefeated, I think, here. Yeah. Steve, go ahead. What do you got?
You're undefeated, and I've got a Seinfeld sports question for you right in your wheelhouse.
The Mets.
Well, the Mets are involved.
Mm-hmm. Because he's a big Mets fan on that show. And in real life.
It is a three-part question, and it's an easy, medium, and hard, okay?
All right.
June 14th, 1987, a costly Keith Hernandez error ruined the day for Newman and Kramer.
Yeah.
Who spit on Kramer?
Okay.
Who were the Mets playing? And how many runs did Hernandez error yield?
All right, Roger McDowell was the spitter.
Yes. That is the easy.
Yeah.
It's a multi-layered question.
It really is.
What's three?
So what was it? So the spitter
we got.
What were the other two questions?
Who were they playing?
Okay. And then how many runs did the error cost the Mets?
Yeah, I think he says it cost us six runs. I don't remember the six runs in the ninth inning or something like that. And that, my friends, was one magical loogie. Who were they playing?
You have to envision Newman telling the story. June 14th, 1987, Mets, and then he says who they were playing.
All I can think of is Dodgers, but I don't think it's the Dodgers. This is pre-interleague play. It's got to be a National League team.
It is a National League team.
Yeah. I don't know. Isn't that's Vandalay Industries too, isn't it?
I don't think it's the same episode.
Is it not? June 14th, 1987.
It's the one where Kramer and Newman end up
And then they went on to score five runs. Was it five runs? Five runs in the ninth inning.
You are correct. I'm going to give you that one. Five runs. That's what I consider to be the hard one.
It's either. It's not the Expos, and they were still the Expos. I don't know it. It's Dodgers or Phillies for some reason. I don't know. You have no idea, right? I'm going to guess the Phillies, but I'm. It's a guess.
June 14th, 1987. Mets, Phillies. A crucial Keith Hernandez error opened the floodgates to a five-run ninth.
Let's go.
Our day was ruined.
Steve, I just wowed you. Because I didn't really know it, and I thought my way through it. That right there, that's a win for me.
That's solid.
That's a win for me.
Three-parter.
Yeah? Yeah. We knew McDowell was the spitter.
Yeah.
Because they always thought it was Hernandez, yeah. And then he told the story of no, and Roger McDowell was the spitter. You're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN, WEPN-FM, New York. RJ, what do you want to do? Take one more? Is there one that kind of rings true to you? Do you want to go right to the five-pack? You tell me.
I think we can do some five-pack action.
Okay, let's go.
All right.
And then we'll get right back to the Knicks, I think.
That's right. So these are current NBA players.
All right.
They've been in the league for a minute. I'm not going to throw any Austin Reeves at you.
Florida, I believe, in Oklahoma State.
is either Oklahoma or Oklahoma State.
Savant.
Maybe Oklahoma.
I trust your judgment.
Yep.
So current players in the NBA playoffs. Malcolm Brogdon.
University of Virginia.
That would be correct. Udonis Haslam.
University of Florida.
Dante DiVincenzo.
Come on. I'm a Biggie's guy. Nova. Wasn't he the MVP of the Final Four?
Had a big shot.
The big ragu.
I think even Rick will get this.
What big shot did Dante DiVincenzo hit?
For Villanova.
No, that was not DiVincenzo.
Not to win the title.
Oh, okay.
No. That was the.
What
is his name?
I can't even think of his name. Chris Jenkins.
Chris Jenkins. KRS. KRIS.
Yes.
Kevin Love.
Rick. UCLA.
There you go.
Oh,
my God. It makes me so moved.
I told you.
You have a chance.
Very empowering.
I think you have a chance at this one as well. P.J. Tucker.
We know that some people think they're...
It's not funny.
I mean, in the Big Ten.
It's not funny.
It could be a Big Ten school. Midwestern.
Yeah. Texas.
Big Ten.
Texas.
No.
There you go.
Your drop got it right.
You did it. Oops. Good job by you.
I had a good Stump Rothenberg.
You had an excellent Stump Rothenberg.
I am smart.
I believe that's a undefeated edition of Stump Rothenberg. Yes.
That was really solid. It really was. Good questions, too, today.
Very good.
Very good questions.
RJ, of the questions that come in, how many are you like, no, that's an awful question. You can't get on the air. And how many are you like, you know what? It's a good, solid question. We'll put you on hold.
70% get through.
70% are good questions.
Yeah, I've tightened the belt a little bit in recent months. And it needed to be done.
You do a nice job.
It'd be nice if you could tighten your belt.
I don't know who that was at.
It wasn't me.
I think you know who that was.
You don't know who it was at? It wasn't me. I mean, what do I do now? No, really, if you're continually browbeaten at work, and this is not a safe space, what am I supposed to do?
Report him.
You call HR?
I could.
Yeah.
I go right to HR. He has his meeting on Thursdays.
This is not a safe space.
It's not a safe space. It's terrible.
I don't feel safe coming to work.
No one should be treated like this in the workspace.
Well, you know what the problem would be, though? Rick would win over the HR arbitrator.
I don't think so.
And Rick, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, and Rick, the fact that he's so upset by what you're saying, how do you feel about that?
He'd be laughing at his own jokes.
He'd be negotiating with the woman.
Like he does with his vacation.
It was unbelievable. He's negotiating how many vacation days he has yesterday.
I'm right.
He wears people down, though. He always succeeds.
Your wife must be the greatest saint in the history of
all time.
You are impossible.
Stop.
You are so high maintenance.
Oh, my goodness.
RJ, higher maintenance, me or Rick?
Rick.
You're so high. You don't even realize. You're so high maintenance, you don't even realize people think you're high maintenance.
Well, no.
You're having a conversation with yourself in the group chat about your vacation.
Like, no, it's 4 weeks and 4 days. No one. No. Like, trying to convince you.
That was the funniest random text that's my seen final offer.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.